Before I kind of start with the homily, I just want to take a couple moments. As I said at the beginning of liturgy, next weekend we welcome Deacon Russ here as our PLC. And something that's happened since that announcement has taken place, I've had a lot of people ask me, well, what do deacons do? And so I just want to take a quick moment to kind of talk a little bit about permanent deacons and their role within the church briefly, although I'm more than willing to talk to anybody else that has questions about that. Our theology of the permanent diaconate, well, let me say this first of all. Deacon Russ is coming here, and I'm grateful for that, and happy to have him here. He wasn't chosen because he's a deacon. And I want to make that clear. Deacon Russ has served as a PLC well before he became a deacon in the church and has a significant amount of experience in that. That doesn't mean that being a deacon is something different, but I just want to say that. The two ministries are a little bit different. And so what I'm talking about here tonight is really to try to talk a little bit about what the diaconal ministry is that's distinct from being a parish administrator or the parish life coordinator here at St. Agnes. Theology of the diaconal ministry ultimately comes from the New Testament and comes from a moment in the Acts of the Apostles where the apostles are experiencing kind of the weight of trying to care for the church and its physical needs, while they're also trying to go out and preach and obey Christ's commandment to go to all ends of the earth to proclaim the gospel to all people. And so they gather the Christian community together, and together they select a group of folks who will, first of all, care for the community itself and provide for the pastoral needs of that community, particularly in the feeding of those who are hungry and for those who have nothing that's with them. The most prominent member of that first community is St. Stephen, who we consider to be the first martyr. We celebrate his martyrdom during the octave of Christmas, of one of the first people at the resurrection of Jesus that proclaims Jesus' resurrection and finds his own experience of martyrdom within that. But the point was, initially, frankly, that the deacons of the church, or those that were appointed, would care for those who are hungry to free up the apostles so that they could go out to all the ends of the earth to proclaim the gospel. And that experience of charity has always sat at the heart of who deacons are. In addition to St. Stephen, the other great image of deacons for our church is St. Lawrence, who was a deacon of the church in Rome in the 3rd century, and who, after the Pope and all the other ecclesial, God bless him, but after the Pope and everybody else was put to death in the persecution there, was left alone, and the authorities in Rome demanded that he present to the church or to the Roman authorities all the treasures of the church, and he would save his life. And his response was to gather up the poor in Rome and present the poor to the emperor and his emissaries and say, this is the treasure of the church. And he famously died by giving himself for the poor and those who are most in need. I find somewhat funny, but when he died, he was roasted alive, and he said, I'm done on this side, flip me over. So he had joy in embracing what it was that God did for him. The reason I say that is because a lot of the questions I have about being a deacon has to do, well, what does he do? Or there were people that even questioned whether I would be here anymore. Deacons and priests aren't interchangeable. Being a deacon is not being a priest light. It's its own vocation. And while there is a liturgical function to being a deacon, which you all will see once Deacon Russ arrives, the principal mark of a deacon is the ministry of charity and the call to that. There are three things that the deacon is called to: the ministry of charity, the ministry of the word, and the ministry of the sacraments. The ministry of charity really does mean exactly what it is, involving every deacon that we have in the archdiocese has a particular ministry that he does that fits within the experience of the ministry of charity. For Deacon Russ, that has been prison ministry. That has been the main ministry he's been involved in that way. It can be ministry of the sick, it can be ministry of the poor, whatever. But there's a variety of ministries, and every deacon is required to do that. The ministry of the Word really involves teaching and the proclamation of the Word. A deacon properly does proclaim the gospel, so when a deacon is here during Mass, the deacon usually proclaims the gospel. He might, on occasion, preach a homily, but the homily still belongs primarily to the priest presider of the liturgy that's there. The main things with the ministry of the Word has to do with teaching, with reaching out to our RCA groups and other things like that to be one who speaks the Word of the Church to others. You'll notice in both of those things that pretty much anybody can do that. And we have lots of people that do that, frankly, in our parish. The point of the deacon, to some degree, is that he has embraced something that sets him aside permanently to do those things in the midst of the community. The last is the ministry of sacraments, and I guess this is where that comes to. A priest alone, can celebrate the sacrament of the Eucharist, confessions, anointing, those sorts of things. And if that answers the questions that's been on some people's hearts, then I hope that that does that. Yes, I will still be saying Mass here on a regular basis. Yes, I am the one that hears confessions, and it is the priest that anoints and provides the sacraments for the dying. The deacon does, in the name of the Church, and can, act as a minister for the sacrament of baptism, as well as celebrating weddings outside of Mass and funerals outside of Mass. And so I would imagine that we would encounter that to some degree with Deacon Russ in our community here. All of those things, if you think about it, in emergency situations, any one of us can do. The point of the deacon is to be one who stands as a representative of the Church in that moment on a regular basis, is someone who does that as a part of his regular life and ministry. That's the main kind of idea behind the diaconate within the Church. It will provide certainly some assistance to me with regards to the baptisms and things that we have here, but by and large, it's not something that's put in place to help me in a way that takes me away, if that makes sense, but a ministry in which both of us work together in that. The PLC ministry, the Parish Life Coordinator ministry, really remains unchanged. His work as a Parish Life Coordinator is similar to all those that went before, and none of that is different. That's really a separate thing from the diaconal ministry in the Church, and something here at St. Agnes that we have known for a long time in a particular way. He happens to be a deacon who is stepping into that particular role, and one who has a lot of experience in that. And so I'm grateful and hopeful as he comes next weekend. As I said, if there's questions about that, feel free to contact me, pull me aside, anything along those lines. I'm happy to talk about that ministry. In my prior assignment to here, I worked with a permanent deacon who was with me in that. One thing I will say about Deacon Russ, he is unmarried. Permanent deacons are permitted to be married if they are married prior to their ordination. Once they have gotten ordained, then if the spouse happens to pass away, then they're obligated to be celibate from that moment forward. Deacon Russ was not married at the time of his ordination, so he is a celibate or single deacon. And I'm going to let him talk about his history and and give his introduction next weekend, but I did want to say he will be here as a single deacon, a celibate deacon that serves among us. Okay? So, somewhat clear? Okay. I just want to say really quick about the gospel. We have one of my favorite lines in Scripture, which is vanity of vanities, all things are vanity, says Koheleth. And that comes from a guy who very clearly in the writings likes the nice things of life. He enjoys a nice meal out with his friends. We're not talking about somebody who lives a very Spartan lifestyle. And yet here in this moment, he states, you know, but all that doesn't mean a whole lot. What means a whole lot is the Lord. And that all the things that we wrestle after, the stuff we try to bring to ourselves, the way we try to hold everything to ourselves, none of that has meaning. And in our Christian tradition, we've heard that over and over again. You know, one of the great things that the stories that is told of St. Thomas Aquinas, who most of our Catholic theology really is based on, is that after he wrote the Summa, and this huge, enormous lifetime work of theology, he says, he made a comment that after everything that I've seen, everything that I've written is just of straw. That in the end, it's the person of Jesus Christ and the great mystery of that that means everything in our lives. Not all the ways we try to build security, not all the things that we try to hold around us. In our gospel reading, the landowner has done nothing wrong. He has simply collected the fruits of his labor, and yet he's called a fool because he invests that in himself and not in the things of God. And I think we need to hear, perhaps somewhat in a painful way, that the call to Christ of Christ in this is simply a call to generosity. That our first call as a Christian is not trying to take care of ourselves and then others. That we're just simply called to be generous at the beginning, first of all. That it is in giving that somehow we invest, as Jesus says, in what it is that belongs to God and what it is that we're called to with God. And that at times can be painful. But at the same time, that's what brings us life. And I think for most all of us, there's a sense of hesitation in that, of holding on to the things that I have, whether that be material or just in my day-to-day living, to hold that to myself first and to give in my excess. But over and over and over and over again, we hear in our scripture that we are called to be a generous people. And generosity is not like, generosity is simply not about saying, okay, I've taken care of myself and now I'll help. We cannot be generous if we don't give. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but we can think of ourselves as generous in a lot of ways in our life, in our time, in our presence. But if we don't give materially, if we don't give of our time, if we don't give of our presence, I'll be honest, I really don't believe that we're going to be generous in any way. That it's the generosity that we have in all aspects of our lives that allows us to be generous in the individual ways that we might encounter in this moment with this person at this time and what's in front of us. And I think we have to wrestle with that all the time. all the time to be self-giving as our Father has been self-giving to us, to be self-giving as our Lord and Savior has offered Himself so that we might live, to be self-giving in a way that we realize that that is where we find joy, salvation, hope, everything that we long for, not in what we bring to ourselves, but that in what we give. And that in giving we receive and find eternal life. Amen.